T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's bring in our buddy Adam McCalvey.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McCalvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Yes, it is. And we're talking Brewers baseball. A nice win last night in a very cold Cincinnati, Ohio, in the Queen City at Great American Ballpark. Adam McCalvey now joining us. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, it was cold, and you saw that in the velos, not just for Josh Hader, which I know some Brewers fans were talking about because it was down a few ticks. But look at Rafael Iglesias for the Reds. It was down, too. So it was... You know, after 4 days at Miller Park, everybody got very comfortable, and then it was a reminder that there's cold baseball ahead in April as well.
I did like the fact that Hader, by the end of his outing, was hitting 95-96.
Yeah, there were no concerns afterwards. If anyone was wondering what, I mean, he was 98 at Miller Park, but there were absolutely zero issues with the way he threw the ball. And again, it was... because that impacted everybody. So it's going to be really interesting, though, because we saw it last year with Josh Hader. They would stretch him out in these multi-inning outings as often as they felt was okay. And in the second and third innings, you would definitely see the numbers come down. That's one of the reasons he's a reliever. I think we're kind of seeing all this unfold as he pitches more in the big leagues with all the numbers on him. We're seeing some of the reasons why, to the Brewers, maybe it was an easier decision, relief versus starting. The numbers change a little bit if you look really closely in the second innings of work, and definitely last year when he would, in the occasions he would pitch consecutive days, the stuff was different the second day. So they're still going to be really careful with how much they use him, because they want that, you know, insane electric Josh Hader, and that's going to require, still, even though he's you know, right now the closest thing they have to a closer, they're still going to have to be very mindful of the way he's used. And I don't think they're ever, unless just his body changes over time, I don't think they're ever going to use him in the way we think of as a traditional closer, where it's 3 out of 4 or something like that. I just don't see Josh Hader doing that, and it's going to require a little bit more complicated formula with his other pitchers for Craig Council.
I got to ask you about, obviously, Christian Yelich. He's been the hottest topic of conversation. However, you know, we were talking about extension. You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You see these other teams trying to extend their best players, and there's this thought process. Now, explain it to people that may not understand, but when they come to a new collective bargaining agreement, there is this thought, is it a soft or a hard salary cap and floor that may go into place? And that's the reason they want to grandfather in some of these long-term deals, because it seems like owners are spending a ton of money, but actually they're doing it, in essence, so as not to lose their better players down the road.
Well, yeah, I think they're... Well, I mean, that's maybe part of it, but I think a lot of these deals are also players that are still in their pre-free agency years. So, it's, you know, when some of these guys sign a super long-term deal, they're not some of those years were club control already, and then they're tacking on a few years at the end. So that's part of the equation, too, is trying to get a little bit of cost certainty and then extending the tenure that you're going to have your players before they reach free agency. From the player's point of view, I think more of these deals are happening now. More guys are open to them than perhaps they would have been in the past, because they're seeing free agency is not what it used to be for players, at least under the current system. So some of these players think, like, this may be the best I can do. And for the player side, you get a little certainty, and you avoid what has been the uncertainty of spring training over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. when you look at the Brewers, you know, I don't know that Yelich falls into that category yet. He's got 4 years left. That's probably early in the process to start thinking about an extension. That's my guess. But players like Travis Shaw, who are coming up on the end of their arbitration years, that's a guy that I've asked before whether they've had talks. And as of spring training, the answer was no, that they had just kind of been going year to year. I think if Jimmy Nelson were healthy, he'd be a guy you'd talk about. I don't think that's going to be the case because of his health situation. Corey Knebel may be the same way because not his uncertain health situation. So I'm not sure we're going to see any of these deals for the Brewers.
I figured I said maybe the off season, maybe next year you might start talking to Christian Yelich about this. I didn't see a necessity to do this. Like right now, which I know there's been some indication where, you know, people on the outside looking in said, you got to get him signed now, you know, give him the extension and keep him for a total of 7 years. And I didn't see the necessity in doing that right now.
I agree with you, I think. I mean, 4 years is a long time. And situations change over 4 years. He's 27 now, you know. Do you want to add on a couple of years to that? I mean, it sounds great right now when he's 27 years old and doing what he's doing. I don't know the answer, Bill. There's probably an argument on both sides, but I just, for one, I get no indication that anything's happening behind the scenes right now on that. But also I think I agree with you that it's too early. I think he's got too many years left to feel a super, you know, sense of urgency to do it now.
Talking with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, I move on to Orlando Arcia, who has gotten off to an 0-for-14 start this season, one walk, three strikeouts. You know, I've already said, look, in 2-3 weeks, I mean, you know, how long do you go on? He's been a guy that's traditionally gotten off to slow starts, and they've sent him down to kind of work out a swing. At what point do you look at Orlando Arcia and go, here we go again, another slow start to the season?
Well, you said 2-3 weeks. I mean, that would be fair. We're 5 days, so I don't think that 5 days is a good enough sample to know. The problem is it's been a soft 0-for-14. I mean, you can come up and hit rockets. Yasmani Grandal has hit some loud outs before. Then he got some hits yesterday. He gets a 4-man outfield, which was pretty good. But Orlando Arcia's outs have been, you know, not very loud.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, what he does defensively gets him a longer leash than most players. But as was proven last year, you have to hit something. You have to hit a little bit, even if you're the greatest defensive player on earth. And last year when they sent him down, he just wasn't hitting at all. And they sent him down, and look, give Orlando Arcia credit because he came back and he was a key offensive player in October. And the hope was that something had changed for him, whatever he was working on in the minor leagues, whether it was confidence, that it was going to make for a better go for him this season. Now, it hasn't happened so far, but, you know, you just off the cuff said 2 or 3 weeks. I would just suggest that that's a pretty fair gauge. Give the guy 2 or 3 weeks before people start talking about Mauricio Dubon, who hasn't played a game yet down at AAA. They open on Thursday. So he deserves a little bit of, because of what he gives you on defense, he deserves a little bit of time.
Also, I wanted to ask you about Yasmani Grandal, because I thought last night there was a couple of times Zach Davies did not hit the strike zone, and Grandal, just by the angle of his glove, brought it back. I mean, we're already seeing some of the dividends of having him behind the plate, don't you think?
Yeah, and look, we saw was it the first pass ball yesterday? I meant to look that in the stats, and then the rest of the game happened, and I never looked. But we also saw a pass ball, and that's the criticism of Grandal. And it was very much in the spotlight during the NLCS last year, where he basically lost playing time to Austin Barnes because he just couldn't catch the baseball. But some of those pass balls are going to happen because of the way he so softly brings that ball back into the zone. And there are going to be situations where they happen where it doesn't hurt you, you know, nobody on, or it's in a situation of the game where he's willing to trade off that risk to get the strike, to get the pitch. And I think that's going to be really interesting. Like, I thought last night was the first example of that, because you'd heard that was the case. That explained some of the pass balls. And I think yesterday was the first time we saw it with our eyes. So, look, and it's good for the guy to get a couple of hits. He drove in a big run with a sac fly during the Cardinals series that almost got over the head of the left fielder. But he found a couple hits. He's got a batting average now as a Brewer, and that can be a really good thing because when you have him hitting seventh and Moustakas being pretty productive so far, sixth, that's a pretty long lineup. And, yeah, I know the eight-hole right now is a big issue. But if you can go seven deep with legit threats, That'll work. And their offense, Craig Counsell said yesterday, he thinks there's a lot more in this offense. Even with all the home runs in the Cardinals series, he thinks there's a lot more for this group. And part of that is that you're now really solid seven deep in the lineup.
I was reading last night that I think it's Bob Nightingale said that the clubs that are still in the Kimbrel talks, one of them are the Brewers. And now it's gone from, hey, don't talk to my client unless you're going to offer a three-year deal, to many are saying, look, if Kimbrel's going to make a move, it should be to the Brewers because it would give him, one, an opportunity to win, two, an opportunity to showcase the talents, and three, to then, if all of that falls into place, he could then get a bigger deal even going into next offseason. Do you see the Brewers making that kind of a move?
Well, look, it's all about it taking two. If Craig Kimbrel were willing to go on a one-year or two-year deal to someplace, he'd be fine, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Look at all the clubs that need relief pitching right now. There's lots of them. The Braves had a terrible opening. I think it was on opening day, their bullpen, which was known to be an issue, was an issue. The Cardinals could use Craig Kimbrel, I think. That would give them a three-headed monster at the back of their bullpen with Hicks and Miller and Kimbrel. So there's plenty of teams that could use him. And if some team were willing to offer what seems to be the consensus of what teams are willing to go for him, and you know that's a whole other side issue. If you want to go down that road, you know the players would say that there's fishy things happening with offers. But that aside, if we're just talking about getting the guy signed, it would have happened. But the ask is still obviously the fact that he's a free agent. It shows you that the ask is still extremely significant, and I don't see that working for this Brewers team. So if it comes down to a short term deal, a Grandal deal, a Moustakas type big number, I would think for the 1 year. But then I could see it happening. But until then, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't either.
The other part of this is that Jeremy Jeffers has got some momentum now. He could pitch on Friday in the AAA game. If he stays on the schedule he's been on, that would be a big deal. Face hitters, stadium, they should have some nice crowds. They're in Oklahoma City. That would be a big deal, I think, and a big step for him, and it'd get him a little bit closer to coming back. And, you know, the Brewers have got to be really crossing their fingers right now. Alex Wilson has been really solid so far. Matt Albers has been really solid so far. But getting Jeremy Jeffress at the back end, that's a guy who's done that 3 out of 4 that we talked about before. You know, he's been pretty durable for this team. That would really help out a lot, and it would maybe tone down some of the Kimbrel talk. And then look, the other part for Kimbrel, not to ramble on forever, there is significant talk now that maybe this is a guy that signs after a draft, because then you don't have to give up a draft pick in addition to what you pay him, and it kind of changes the calculus for teams. So that's another thing. As this gets deeper and deeper, I think more teams are going to start eyeing mid-June and think about adding a big-time arm after the draft pass.
Always good, Adam. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week, okay?
All right, Bill.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.